So we're starting a new series looking at lockdown lessons today. And I wonder, what have you learned since lockdown? What did you learn during lockdown? We're going to think about that as a church over the coming weeks. But I wonder personally, what was your experience? You might notice I've had a haircut. And one of the things that I learned was how to cut my son's hair during lockdown. And it was all going well. I had the clippers out. I was giving him pretty much a buzz cut. It couldn't really go wrong. Until I realised that I had slipped down the grade number to one, and he ended up having a big kind of reverse Mohican down the middle of his hair. It all turned out all right. He didn't mind. It was okay. But one of the things I did for the first time was cut somebody's hair. The other thing was a 1,000-piece jigsaw, which we managed to do in 1 week. I guess we had more time then. We got another one since, picked it up from the charity shop. Is it finished? No. A month later, we're still at it. In fact, we're not really at it much at all. But either way, lockdown was a period where people learned lots of things, didn't they? What did you learn? What did you pick up? Did you start a new rhythm of life? Did you learn something new? Did you start baking sourbread? Did you start doing something in the garden, veg kind of growing? I wonder how those vegetables are getting on, because my gut feeling is that a lot of people that started things have maybe experienced the fact that those things have fizzled out. But either way, we learned stuff. But one of the things that I want to talk about today is one of the kind of spiritual lessons that I guess we all learned that's on one level pretty obvious, but important to think about. And that is that basically we learned that church is better together. And that word together has been a word that has been on my heart for a number of months. I've been praying about it. Verses of the Bible have kind of come to mind around that word. I've talked with people about that word, what it means to be church together, or together church. And that's what we're going to think about today as we consider it. And it's the very thing that we've missed, isn't it? Being together, having a get together is the one thing that has been really hard the last 6-7 months. And as we're into September and lockdown has eased and we're getting on with life, schools are up and running, universities are due to restart, working environments maybe, there's a return to the office. Suddenly people are getting together, and churches too are beginning to meet in person. We've been talking about our plans as a church, and I'll kind of pick up on some of that through this message today. But actually, what I want to think about is, what does it mean? What does the Bible say about church? And does it have to be together? Can online church just be the way forward? It saves getting up and setting up church, doesn't it? Just a little bit more technological. But of course, what have we missed? We've missed being together. We've missed kind of chatting and the informality of relationships. We've missed, Zoom and WhatsApp. And live streams just don't make up for that face-to-face interaction. Instead, we've felt isolated, apart, disjointed. Maybe you felt disconnected. And actually, that's a shame, isn't it? Because the very thing that churches should be about are kind of coming together, uniting around a common faith, physically, personally, getting to know one another and God, so that relationships can be formed and community can be real and authentic and genuine and something to grow and impact the world around us. And as a church, we value that. We really value community. And yet that's the one thing that we're craving for and desperate to rebuild. This is what someone called David Cook, a Christian leader in the UK, said about this. One of the features of our modern culture is our intense population density, yet we lack togetherness. We have proximity without community. And in a way, that has kind of been highlighted during lockdown, during the last 6-7 months, hasn't it? That there's somehow this dense population, there's this interaction and connectedness that we have online, but it doesn't mean that we get community. In fact, people have expressed that they felt lonelier than ever, that they felt more isolated, more apart, and it's been really hard. Yes, there's been signs of community gathering around Zoom online and kind of engaging in new ways within the neighbourhood. Some of that is great, and I don't want to overlook that. But the truth is, we are so keen to meet together in person again, as church, as friends, as family, beyond just two households in a home, beyond kind of wearing a face covering and entering a church and leaving a church as quickly as we can. We long for real together church. So how are you really coping? Are you missing church? Are you missing community and friendships and being together without a lot of restrictions that make you feel guilty and awkward and unsure? I have. And we're working in every way we can towards restoring those things to be true church. But what does the Bible say about that? What do we understand about that? And I thought I'd start with a few quotes from a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Life Together. He was a German theologian in the 1930s. He wrote a number of books. This is one of them. And he's had a huge influence on Christian thinking around this subject. Listen to a few sentences from his book. It says, "It is by the grace of God that a congregation is permitted to gather visibly in this world, to share God's word and sacrament. Not all Christians receive the blessing, the imprisoned, the sick, the scattered lonely, the proclaimers of the gospel in heathen lands stand alone." We might add those self-isolating when in lockdown. We miss the physical gathering as God's people. They remember, as the psalmist did, how they went with the multitude to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. But they remain alone, a scattered seed according to God's will. Yet what is denied them as an actual experience, they seize upon more fervently in faith. So whilst maybe that's something that's been denied of us, that we're longing for, and yet somehow it can foster a fervent faith, a hope for a return to that. A bit later he says, "The believer feels no shame as though he were still living too much in the flesh, when he yearns for the physical presence of other Christians." And that's because we crave the physical. Jesus came in a physical body to reveal God to us. He lived a real life. He ate food. He slept. He laughed. He kind of went through life in community with others. And that's the thing that we're missing in the way that we've been so familiar with it. And this is how he concludes this kind of section of the book. He says, "Therefore, let him who until now has had the privilege of living a common Christian life with other Christians praise God's grace from the bottom of his heart. Let him thank God on his knees and declare, 'It is grace, nothing but grace, that we're allowed to live in community with Christian brothers and sisters.'" And so as we think about Christian community, we realize it was a grace that we experienced being together week by week, whenever we wanted. And because it's been removed from us, we can, on one level, thank God for what we experience, but also look in faith towards it returning, knowing that many people don't experience this and would love to, people all around the world. Let's come to the Bible now and think a bit about how the book of Acts in the early chapters shows us that church is about being together physically, spiritually, formally, informally. Going deep in relationships and wide in mission. And that's going to be where we spend our time now. So I'm just going to highlight a few verses. And what this shows us is that this word together is really significant in Luke's book called the Book of Acts. In his first volume, the Gospel of Luke, there's about 10 references in his gospel to that word together. And in the Book of Acts, we get about 24 different occasions throughout the book where he uses the word together quite significantly. And I'm just going to pick out a few. In chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "They all joined together constantly in prayer." In chapter 2, verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." We're going to spend most of our time in chapter 2, 42 to 47. But in that section, we read, "All the believers were together. They met together. They ate together." In chapter 4, verse 24, "When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God." That's the church. They were together in prayer, together in person. chapter 5, verse 12, all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Chapter 6, the disciples were together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of word and God in order to wait on tables. We keep finding throughout the book all these references to together, God's people gathering for prayer, for Bible teaching, for encouragement. And in chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept talking until midnight. Well, I'm not going to keep talking through the hours. We're going to spend the next 15, 20 minutes just exploring this word a bit more, this word together. So what we've seen there is that the early chapters, the kind of record we have from Luke of the early church, the first Christians following Pentecost, when the church, the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, having been heard the gospel explained, the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, displaying that he is the Messiah, the Christ, that they do something, they gather together. So let's just, if you've got a Bible, do open it at chapter 2. I'll read from verse 42 to 47 of Acts. So Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we've got this first prototype church, this sermon that Peter had preached in chapter 2, having been filled with the Spirit, led to 3,000 people becoming Christians. So this is a kind of great moment in the church, is kind of God's people having been the people of God, Judah, the Jews, now understanding Jesus, the Messiah, the fulfiller of the Old Testament. They then are kind of eyes that are opened. They're born again. They're given new life in a new way. And they gather together. And I want to just think about how this Christ-centered, Spirit-filled church devoted themselves to being together, and then take some applications for us today. So that, first of all, we can see a few ways that we can experience church together. The first one is physically and spiritually. You might notice that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. So these are kind of the four hallmarks of what a church does when it gathers. And this word church, ecclesia in Greek, coming out, this gathering, assembling of God's people, which is done in person together, because they didn't have live streaming technology back in those days. But it is God's plan, isn't it, for his people to gather together. We see that here, and it's around the word, the teaching of the apostles, the explanation of the Bible. Because if that didn't happen, people would kind of go astray. They'd not fully understand the gospel. They'd not really get to know God. They wouldn't be united in a set of kind of teachings from God, but instead any number of interpretations and false teaching would be a threat. So they gathered, they devoted, they committed to teaching. They committed to being in fellowship together. That word koinonia in Greek, which means that close sharing community, the common life, life together, like I read from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And as they did that, they broke bread. That's a sort of a phrase that was used for communion, the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, the wine being a remembrance of Jesus' life and death, and his new covenant life for us as bread is broken and the cup is drank. We're going to do that after this message together. And then prayer. So these features, they build community. They remind that the central thing is Jesus' death and resurrection. That's the gospel. There's teaching and growth and equipping. there's prayer ministry as we need to rely on God, not ourselves. And there's fellowship, community together. So this is something that's very much done in community physically, but also there's a spiritual element to it. And the spiritual element is understood because each one of those has got a spiritual dimension. The teaching, God's word, revealing the truth that God wants relationship with us and to grow us. The prayer is a spiritual activity, the breaking of bread, this spiritual union that we have with Christ, and fellowship. And the word fellowship that I mentioned, koinonia, has this meaning of being sharing in, sharing out, and sharing with. That's how John Stott, a well-known Christian teacher and leader of the last century, explains it. And share in. Actually, we share in fellowship with God. If you think of 1 John 1 verse 3, this is what John says. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So community of believers, a church, a fellowship, it's not just a horizontal relationship, it's vertical relationship with God, spiritual fellowship. That's what we've been saved into. So being together is because God is with us, his presence amongst his people. And so that sharing in spiritual fellowship, sharing out. What do we read in this passage? That the believers were together in verse 44 and had everything in common. They shared out their possessions. They put money into the common pot. They sold their land and their fields to help the poor at that time. They kept their houses because we know that they met in houses, and they didn't give everything into the common purse, but they did share extensively and met the needs of those that had need. So they sold property and possessions to give. And so we have this community of fellowship, but also a share with, as well as sharing out to one another's needs. They also shared with one another in how they loved one another, how they cared for one another, how they prayed with one another. That is true fellowship. And what have we missed the last few months, nearly half a year? We've missed that physical element. We've maintained the spiritual because that is a blessing from God that we have. We've done it in part via live streams and via Zooms and meeting up in gatherings as the government have allowed, but we're craving for that in-person sharing. And I want to say that we are planning towards that as soon as we can, as safely as we can, and as well as we can as a church. But it's hard. But the truth is, we are together because we are God's people. The second aspect is that we find in this passage that it's not just this physical spiritual togetherness, but also it's formal and it's informal. In verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. So that together word is seen in the formal going to the temple for prayer three times a day, which was a Jewish kind of pattern of worship, and also a meeting in homes. The formal setting in the temple, the informal in the homes. And that's a kind of rhythm of early church worship that we find in the book of Acts. They would have gone to the temple to pray, a structured setting led by those in the temple worship. They probably wouldn't have participated in the temple sacrifices because they were believers in the Messiah, the one who died for them and took their sins away. And so there would have been this discovery that the sacrificial system was no longer required for them because Jesus was the one sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for all. But as well as that formal worship, they have that in the home, spontaneous, informal discipleship, growth, meeting with one another, doing communion, breaking bread in the home. And I wonder, how's that been for you? How's it been worshipping in your home over the last 6-7 months? Have you, like us, found it hard to create a sacred space around that 9:30 to 10:30 slot, that Sunday morning worship time, or whenever you've watched the YouTube service? I would really encourage you to try and encourage the household that you live with, whoever you do that with, to not get distracted by a text message, by popping out to get another coffee midway through the sermon, by the any number of distractions, but somehow creating a sacred space, a time we go, no, we're going to watch this together on the bigger screen, not just individually on our phone. We're going to have this space of more formal worship, as well as the everyday informal spontaneous stuff. So what is your rhythm for worship? Because we can't meet together the way we used to in the same way. The onus is on you, on me, to form within your household, your family, your life, a rhythm of worship. And that's not easy. It takes time. A daily pattern, a morning, afternoon pattern, an evening pattern, a prioritizing of life group, a meeting with one or two others that you're really close with over Zoom or WhatsApp or face to face if you can, to pray, to read the Bible, to grow. Because in-person worship is hard at the moment. So our worship is physical and spiritually together. It's formal and informal. It's also deep and wide. The last together reference in verse 46, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. So this together word is one that's associated with eating food, with doing normal life, and it's sincere. Worship, it's in awe, it's with gladness and joy. There's depth to faith. So the question is, how are we growing in depth at this time over the meal table with those that we live with or meeting with others? And I think we can't meet in great numbers like we used to, but we can meet with ones, twos, one other household and go deep. So I want to encourage us, let's go deep. We're allowed to. Let's make the most of that. Let's have real, authentic relationships. That is the building block of real community life, of life together, where we ask the hard questions, where we pray because we've been open about our real needs and struggles and concerns. When we say, I'm just not coping, do you know what? You can know who to go to because you've got a deep relationship. But then notice that it doesn't end there. It spreads out and the impact is clear. Enjoying the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. So this kind of life together, physically, spiritually, formal, informal, deep, real community has an impact on society. Favour on all the people. Yet we know in Acts, persecution's around the corner. It's going to get hard for them. They're not always going to have favour with the people. But at that moment, the church had a blessing upon the community it was amongst. They had the favour, the grace of others beyond the church, the non-believers. And the Lord added to their number. So to me, that says, do you know what? If we can do deep, real, authentic Christian community, if we can grow in that as Barton Church, there is a missional outworking. People come to faith. People see a different way of doing life and they're transformed. And notice it's not the kind of mechanics of how we do church. It's God. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. The many wonders, that is a God thing. The signs, that is a God thing working through his people. Praising God, the Lord added to their number. In verse 47, it's God who grows his church. It's God who saves people. And it's him that brings them into community. He's the one at work. I listened to a webinar, engaged with a webinar last week. And there was a guy called Sam Chan speaking, an Australian evangelist. And he was saying that we've got this new entry point into the gospel as we think about mission and evangelism. Because the Western story has been deconstructed. You know, the story of individualism, of freedom, of control, that's gone because of COVID. No longer do we have freedom, but we had lockdown and restrictions. No longer have we got this individualism, but we've got individualism. We've got community responsibility because we've got to think about masks and protecting and shielding those in our community that are vulnerable. No longer have we got control. We've got uncertainty. And what does the gospel offer? It offers hope, comfort, certainty. It offers a new way of living where we don't have to be in control. We don't have to chase individual freedom. We have community life with others because of Jesus. There's a message, a better story to share with a world in need. So how are you coping? How are you really coping? Are you missing church? I am, because it's not really together church like we want it. Church is better together. One of the programs I've watched over recent weeks is The Toughest Race in the World. And I've chatted to a few people about it. And it's this eco challenge across Fiji, 671 kilometers to be completed in 11 days. There were 66 teams from around the world that went for it. And I don't know, 45, 50 maybe completed it. But the ones that completed it, the hiking, the paddle boarding, the swimming, the rock climbing, the mountain biking across crazy terrain, swamps, jungle, high mountains, valleys, ocean crossings. They only completed it because they stuck together as a team. They had a navigator that led them, a team captain that was able to make the right calls, when to sleep, when to eat, when to rest, when to push on, how to keep morale up. It might feel like the toughest time ever for you coming out of lockdown and trying to figure out how to do life going forward. Do you know what? It's about being together, being a part of a team. That can happen at a church level, with a life group, with a growth group, with a kind of friendship group. But do you know what? The great news is that it's not down to us. Jesus is on our team. And in fact, he invites us to join his team. He is our captain. He is our navigator, and he helps us through. Are you on his team? Are you letting him lead you in this tough time? A couple of practical things to finish. If you want to find more about Jesus and what this means, please sign up to our Christianity Explore course. It's starting in a few weeks' time. If you want to meet with someone to find out more, please let us know. And if you're a part of the church and you're wondering what next, I want to say engage in the church opportunities that there are. In person coming up soon, we're going to have some prayer meetings. We're going to try some new ways of doing community in person. But until then, keep going on Zoom. Keep going with live stream church, because it's better than nothing. And it will help feed you, grow you. And we can do church together, even though it's through a screen, because we are spiritually united in Jesus. I want to pray just now as we finish. Lord God, help us to not neglect to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but instead help us to encourage one another, and all the more so as we see the day approaching. Help us to be church. Help us to live out church together in community in any expression we can. Help us to keep going, knowing that you are with us, you're on our team, you are our leader, you are our captain, you're our navigator through the jungles of life, the highs and lows. And may we know that we are a church that is spirit-filled, Christ-centered, as we keep devoted to the teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Help us to grow. Help us to live that out today and the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.